clean up your whole backyard. You clean your business out.
Clean it up, mister.
And welcome back, y'all, to Rosie on the House. Come on in. We're going to throw the doors wide open. Join us for this last hour. We've covered a lot of ground today. We had the editor and publisher from Arizona Highways join us in the 7 o'clock hour talking about this great issue of August Arizona Highways.
We had an email in this week, somebody that said that they had been listening for many, many years and have really made it a point to tune in just for continued education. But he said that 7 o'clock hour is really growing on me.
All right. Very good. Very good. We sure like doing it. We're here every Saturday morning to melt away your anxieties, whether it be about global politics, universal politics, home ownership anxieties. We'd like you to come into our house on Saturday mornings. We've been doing this for 28 years. We'd like to think of ourselves as your Arizona Saturday morning tradition, your weekend wake-up call, your happy place here at Rosie on the House. So you can come in, put your feet up, and just relax for a few minutes. And you know, one of the things in this particular campaigning season, I found myself, before we go to the phones here, and the topic is going to be plants this hour, which is a little unusual talking plants in the 10 o'clock hour, but we are today. It's a follow-up to a story we had last week about plants that do really poorly in Arizona, so don't try and planting them here. Now we're going to talk about plants that do really well here but can cause a lot of attached problems to them. So that's what we're going to talk about. But Scott in our office was trolling through some websites, and he trolled through one, the four worst American presidents. And I don't want to go political, but I do want to talk about one in particular. This,
Scott made me promise to keep you accountable to that.
This is an article that Rosie's reading. This isn't your...
The four worst American presidents. And he also gave me another one, the five of the worst presidential candidates in history.
Oh, so, that did... Okay.
But... The four worst American presidents. I don't even know, Romy.
Okay.
Daily Kos, KOS. I don't. Okay. I've never been there. But the number one worst president in the history of the country, they ranked as James Buchanan. Now, James Buchanan was the president that immediately preceded Abraham Lincoln, so he had a tough job.
That's a hard act to follow.
You know, he had it. Well, he was preceding Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, sorry about that.
So he was trying to keep the country together while the country was going through absolutely one of the most horrific things it had ever tried to encounter. Would it survive the national split on, you know, several particular topics? He was a lifelong bachelor. His first lady was actually his orphaned niece. And she, Harriet Lane, is ranked as the second best first lady ever to hold the office, with Dolly Madison being the first lady. So we have the
James
worst,
Madison's wife.
We have the worst president has the second best first lady, but he's trying to hold the country together. Abraham Lincoln wins the election, and this is what he had to say to Mr. Lincoln on his way into the White House. "If you are as happy, my dear sir, on entering this house as I am on leaving it, then you are the happiest man in the country."
Good luck, son. That's what I hear.
good luck, son. So tough, tough position to be in. But the worst president in the United States, James Buchanan. A lot of other interesting little tidbits that we'll just have fun like that through the rest of this campaigning season. We'll just sprinkle it through the show just for conversational history facts fun. But right now, we want to talk about plants that do a little bit too well in Arizona that may cause some peripheral issues you need to know about prior to planting them.
And you'd mentioned things we'd covered earlier. If you're not an early bird or you're new to the Rosie on the House program and you miss our 8 o'clock hour, we're joined by John Harper of Harper's Nursery, who's actually calling back in from the nursery to talk about a few of these plants. And we'll start off with Rosie's favorite, the cat's claw.
you waiting for Rosie to tell you about cat claw or me?
Rosie backed away. He checked out.
Well, a cat claw is a very commonly used, very popular, very hardy, tough vine for here. It grows really fast. It self-attaches. You don't have to have a trellis. It loves the heat. Takes a moderate amount of water. So, you know, it sounds a little bit like the perfect vine, and it can be in some cases.
And it has a little color at times.
Yellow, big yellow trumpet-shaped flower in the spring. If you're looking for something to cover up an old fence or a chain link fence or a screening or just get some shade on a wall, it's pretty hard to beat. I guess until winter, if you ever want to try and get rid of it.
Then it can
be a little tough to get rid of it. It has this root system that's got lots of little tuberous type roots, and you know they multiply and reroot, and it spreads on the ground and kind of reroots, and so it's very vigorous. Again, just keep that in mind when you're planting it where you want to plant it. It can be a wonderful vine, and it is. But if it's in a place that maybe is too small for it, or you wouldn't want to use it as a temporary covering. If you have a place that you just wanted to cover up for a few years until you did something else, it's probably not the thing to use for you.
Now, how heavy do they get? Could a chain link fence take the weight of a mature cat's claw 10 years down the road?
Absolutely. Now, one thing that will happen, and this isn't just cat claw, it's just about any vine, is that, you know, when it gets old and mature and it gets a lot of growth up at the top, it can get kind of thin at the bottom. The wonderful thing about cat claw, and or if you had it on a wall that needed painted, you can cut it off at the ground. Literally take everything off, leave nothing but literally nothing. And in a few months, it'll be back up growing on that wall again and starting to cover it. So if it gets a little woody looking, or it gets a little top heavy, or it gets a little thin at the base, whack it back and let it start all over.
I can do you one better than that. You can whack it to the ground, excavate it, dig it up, try get rid of all the roots that you can possibly see, and think you're done with it. Pour a little water to the area, and it'll be back.
It can do that, and people that just absolutely have to get rid of it and you don't ever want any of it to come back, you know, you probably are going to have to treat, you know, the shoots and the leftover canes and stems with, you know, some type of strong herbicide like an undiluted glyphosate, which is Roundup, basically, in a concentrated form. That usually will do the trick.
Usually.
Well, it may take more than one application. It will do the trick. Eventually, it will get it.
And is this an evergreen, or does it lose its leaves?
It is evergreen. It is not frost tender. It'll take the cold. It'll take the heat. You know, it's just about as perfect a vine as you can get for here. Other than, you know, if it's in a place, again, if it's the wrong plant in the wrong place, then you know, that's a whole different story, right? So gets back to planning ahead in our landscape, whether it's a vine, a tree, or a shrub, or a ground cover. Make sure you know how big it's going to get, how fast it's going to grow, and what you're going to have to do to maintain it.
How far out will that will that cat's claw grow? From the root point to the end of it, will it get 50 feet?
I'm standing underneath one right now at the nursery. Excuse me, that grows up a pole. Then it grows out over the top of our shade structure. And this plant is now 15, 30, about 60 feet wide from tip to tip.
So a big area. It will cover a big area.
So if you're trying to cover a fence, you know, the one nice thing is, you know, it'll cover it quick if you put it every 5, 6, 8 feet apart, but you could probably plant one and it'll cover your whole fence. Might take a while. It would do it.
But it would get there. And then oleanders, another one that's popular and used as a privacy fence, a plant fence, that can have its problems as well.
Well, it can. There's a number of issues with oleanders. They get, you know, people have to remember now there is a dwarf and a regular. So your regular old standard common oleanders get pretty darn big, and they get really wide. A lot of people forget they're a shrub, so they get about as wide as they do tall. So you may need to make sure you've got enough width and space. I have been out where there's been house fires to do an insurance estimate for the landscaping. The oleanders got burnt. By the time I got to the house to do the landscape estimate for their insurance claim, the oleander was starting to grow back. Got burnt to the ground, and yet it's still growing back. So it's a toughie. Again, it's going to have to be, if for some reason you need to get rid of it, you know, it's probably a backhoe and Rosie's favorite thing, you know, a backhoe and some dynamite, but some type of probably herbicide treatment on the cane, the stumps, the stubble,
and
to keep it from coming back, and that may have to be reapplied a couple of times. There again, you're going to get tired of me saying this, but right plant in the right place. Make sure you know the attributes of the plant before you plant it. It's a perfect large privacy windbreak screen, but you got to make sure you got room.
Very good. So a couple things that, you know, that's where it really pays off in your overall landscape design, and not just seeing something you like and thinking, oh, hey, I'm going to put that there at my place, and not understanding the size and growth and all things Jay just talked about. So take a few extra minutes before you get committed.